Welcome to episode 5, Unhealthy Relationship Patterns and How to Break Them. And today we have two special guests because my Adrian is not available today. So we have our beautiful co-host, Anitra, who is Adrian's sister, and I'll let her talk about herself for a second.
Hello, everyone. My name's Anitra Henderson, and I live in Richmond, California. I am currently married, been married almost 10 years, and I have a 9-year-old daughter, a 8-year-old, and I've known Nicole, 18 years maybe?
Yeah, it's been a real long time.
We work together, and my sister is normally the co-host, and I'm filling in for her.
And we also have our special guest, Jackie Zadick. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Nicole. Thank you for having me. Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Jackie. I am Canadian living in Los Angeles. I am a writer, a freelance writer. I've done some copywriting, ghostwriting. My passion is short story writing. And I also do a lot of marketing as a freelancer. And I am going through a divorce. I have 3 kids, 11, 10, and 6. And I'm looking forward to delving into how to break unhealthy relationship patterns.
Yes. And Jackie is actually a friend of mine for 20 some years. Let's pretend like I didn't say that.
22, 22 years.
Yeah. And we met in college, and I think we've both been at times inspirational to each other. Without her, there probably would never have been a Single Mommy Fabulous because I wouldn't have started. I kind of copied you. Don't tell anyone, though.
Yeah, I'm flattered. Thank you.
Just wanted to make that acknowledgement. And
as long as we're doing this, like, female bromance, you know, I credit a lot of my everything to you because without you, I never would have transferred out of community college into university.
Yeah.
There was a lot that we've done for each other over the years. You were my first friend in California.
Yeah, I'm all right. Just kidding. Oh, and I can't actually go on with this episode without that Adrian and I really had a bad time learning that Chadwick Boseman died last Friday. He was our collective boyfriend and wonderful human as we're learning more about him, and just want to acknowledge his life and his work. And you know, I know he can't hear us, but, you know, just thank him for everything that he did. So now we're going to transition into talking about some of the crazy, wild relationships that we've had that are great in some senses, but definitely are unhealthy. So Jackie, we're going to let you talk about your relationship a little bit, and then we'll go from there.
Well, okay, so I just want to preface what any of my stories with. I think that even in unhealthy relationships, you learn a lot. And, well, that's the hope. And when you take that knowledge and apply it to your next relationship or any relationships that you have, I think it's a positive. So if there's anybody who, like me or us, are currently stuck in an unhealthy situation, there's hope, and we should focus on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Just because you know so much about my personal life, you know that I do have a lot of relationships, which some of them do end up being unhealthy. What do you want me to focus on first?
Whatever tickles your fancy, whichever you do you.
Okay, so we talked about this during the week when you were telling me a little bit about what you wanted to plan for today's podcast. And there is a current relationship, romantic relationship that I'm involved in that's been off and on for almost 2 years. January will mark 2 years. And it's been intense where it's almost like, for lack of a better term, just to say a bipolar relationship where these like fantastic highs where everything was like honeymoon and you can't imagine anyone better, to just the deepest lows where it's hard to get out of bed and you wonder what you were thinking from the get-go. There are times when I've said even to you, that's it, I'm done, I'm not going back, I'm never talking to him again, he's dead to me. Not that extreme, I've never said that. But then I think you even know a few weeks later, some, and even in this last situation, it was a few months later that I said, well, we talked and we're going to figure it out and try again. And for me, that's the epitome of an unhealthy relationship, when there is no consistency and the ability to just break off and then sweep it under the rug to come back together. There's no other kind of unhealthy dynamic for me. And that's, of course, putting aside physical abuse. I'm not counting that.
Yeah.
So what do you think about my relationship, Nicole?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think for me, it's really easy for me to see the pattern just based on my last long-term relationship that lasted 5 years, to see the push-pull and to understand the push-pull, to understand that we intrinsically want to be loved, right? We find these people who can fill us with this joy that most people can't, because in some ways they know us better than we know ourselves romantically. It's really weird. That's how I see it. And they know what to say to us to get us to come back, right? So with your relationship, that is definitely what I see. I always sit there and go, here he goes again. And I want to go, Jackie, don't talk to him ever again. And instead, you know, I've changed it to, I don't like him. Because I don't want to be the person to be like, that's not my place. But you're also one of my best friends, and I'm not going to let you like flail around and whatever without knowing that I feel that you deserve better. You know what I mean? And so that's been my feeling about that particular relationship. But I mean, how does that make you feel, that you know in some senses that you shouldn't go back, but you do? How does that make you feel?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think on one hand, I feel that at my age, I'm in my 40s, I have children, one is a daughter. I feel that it's not okay to be a strong female in today's society and accepting this kind of subpar status in a relationship or treatment or emotional respect. And then on the other hand, I also feel that because I'm in my 40s, I am in my sexual prime, and I acknowledge that, and I'm really enjoying it. And like you said, there are some people that really know you better romantically and physically, like a sexual intimacy type of way. And so there's where that push-pull comes in again, like, wait a minute, I'm too old for this and I deserve better, but I'm also at my prime and this is really satisfying. So it's hard. It's a hard, honest truth. Like, I have to say, I could sugarcoat it, but in reality, there's a great physical connection, and that's what keeps me going back.
Right. No. And that I have to say, the 5 years that I spent with this person was very always fulfilling, except for the fact that whenever I introduced the idea of it either being a complete relationship where he acknowledged that he was asking me to be his girlfriend and not his friends with benefit, there was always a pushback, like, I'm not, no, you don't know what happened with my ex-wife, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I don't give a shit about your ex-wife. Honestly, she's not here. She's not in this relationship. She has no bearing on our relationship. And every time I heard that, it hurt me a little. It made me die a little bit, to be honest, again, inside. Because I've given you 5 years of my life. I've also given you the ability to grieve that relationship without being forceful. And yet, and still, I'm not enough for you to say, yes, you're my girlfriend, and here, meet my family, and here, da 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 da. I mean, 5 years is just too long for that nonsense to go on. You know what I mean?
So why do you think you let it go on for that long?
I think it goes back to having a girl, like you said, having a daughter. He met Olivia when she was 2 years old. They are great friends. They have a close relationship that I have allowed to continue, even though we're not together. he feels like he is her father, and she probably doesn't feel that way, but she does feel very close to him. And so that's a relationship that I don't feel, it's a good relationship, but I don't know. Like, I don't want to get in there, and I don't know if I'm doing something wrong, even in that aspect. That's a whole nother show, but you know what I mean? So I'm like, okay. And I know he's a good guy in general, except emotionally, he's kind of abusive. But he's the kind of person who goes to work, comes home, doesn't go out, pays his bills, and is, no, I mean, honestly, when you get certain age, these are important things.
Right. No, no, I know exactly what you're saying, that it's like, oh, well, he's not an alcoholic and he doesn't beat me. But I'm not, it's like, it's the same thing. It's like we're lowering our standards because he's got good credit.
No, and I can piggyback on that. I can agree on everything Nicole's saying because that's my current situation. I'm currently married to someone like that, you know, and I'm the second wife. So, and they were divorced 7 years before we got together. So you would think he would have healed from the first marriage. And I'm nothing like the first wife. I'm the absolute opposite. But I'm always reminded of, you know, he's always telling me, well, these are triggers and because you may have done this, but I'm just like, but we've been together for 10 years and I haven't shown you any of those traits out of me. So why am I held to a certain, you know, I'm held down here. You know, I'm constantly reminded of what you went through, but you aren't the man, like you couldn't have been the man that you are today with her. So yeah. It's, and then why am I that? Cause I have a daughter. You know, I had a first daughter that we weren't together. Like I didn't marry her father and I wanted stability. And I couldn't, my second daughter loves her father. And I couldn't imagine, like, it's a lot, you know, you both know, it's a lot going into when you're married with someone and you have a kid, you know.
I think that what I sympathize with the loneliness that you might have around that, but I think it's commendable for your husband that he's acknowledging the triggers, right? The fact that he's aware of it, I think, is a good thing, right? That's a platform for you guys to push yourselves into the next level. Do you think he's open and willing to do that?
I don't think so. I mean, he says that he is, but I have to be the one to like find a therapist or do that in the third. So it's like, if I don't do it, he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's a common theme with all the females in my life, certainly, that it's always like, well, I'm an open book as long as you ask the right questions, right? Or I'm willing to go to therapy as long as you do everything to set it up. Mm-hmm. But it's why I feel like, you know, Beyonce, who run the world, like we do.
Yeah. Right.
It's not tough.
We do
because, yeah, we just do.
I'm curious, was your relationship with your older daughter's dad, was that long-term or it was just kind of a short-term thing?
It was a short-term thing. And we only try to make it work because we got pregnant or I got pregnant. But... And I raised her to, like, I never lied to her about our situation, my situation with her father. Had I got to know him, like, really, no, she probably wouldn't have been here. Like, he definitely was somebody I should not have procreated with. He was not a good person for me. Wasn't really a good father. I mean, so, but I see how I learned in that relationship that you cannot change anyone. You have to take them for who they are right now. You can't think about, oh, well, they might potentially be like you. No, you have to take someone for who they are in this moment. And if they change for the better, then great. That's wonderful. But you can't hope in a prayer. So that's exactly that's what I learned from him. So I'm grateful to that because going into this marriage, that's one thing I don't try to change my husband. I know who he is, but it's still hard for me to have to, you know what I'm saying? Like I love him and of all his flaws and all of his, cause he's not perfect. And he has childhood trauma that he's dealing with. And I don't think that how he treats me is, I don't think he intends to do that. You know, I don't think it comes from a bad place. It's just that he doesn't know how to be emotionally gentle.
And I think you sound like you have really healthy outlook on relationships, actually.
I try to.
I think she does. I mean, and that's, she's probably one of the people that in my life that I would say is, has a healthy outlook on most things in life. Like, she is, you're a very positive human, if I haven't told you that before. But you look at things in a far less, what is the word I'm looking for? Negative lens, for lack of a better term, where I'm a skeptical lens. I've got a skeptical lens on every moment of every day.
That's actually true. I'm laughing about it, but it's true. It's increased over the years. So it's, I'm glad that you have this kind of friendship to kind of balance you out a little.
Hey, when we were 20 something at the bar, I was far less skeptical.
That's true. That's what I'm saying. It's got.
It's just that life has taught me to be skeptical of everyone.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Jackie, because Nicole kind of teaches me. She's more, you know, she's a free spirit, you know, and she's sociable. So she kind of, you know, she helps me to be more, you know, learn to be confident, you know, and especially in your own skin, you know. So
you just proved my point. You have a very healthy outlook. You know, you manage to say, no, look, she helps me too. I love that. I think that's a really strong quality.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So all of a sudden I'm having allergy problems. I'm sorry. I'm not crying. Okay. I'm not crying. Okay.
But you know, it's interesting, as I'm thinking too, where you're describing your relationship with your daughter's dad and Nicole, I mean, we've seen every major relationship in each other's lives. It does seem like there's a pattern that we all kind of have, or we seek out unhealthy relationships.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I have to say she doesn't though, and it happens to her.
Yeah,
but her resolve to find the right human stays pretty much even, right? So she hasn't had as many relationships as me. Thank God she's smarter. But it's because she sticks to what she wants and what she sees as a goal, romantic goal. And I, because she called me a free spirit, which is probably why I'm like, I'm ready to give anybody a chance that makes me feel good. And then I'm like, oh, why the hell did I do that? I don't know why I did that. You know what I mean? Like, I have learned in myself, because I have had so many unhealthy relationships. And I also, as we've talked about, push away healthy relationships. I've learned in myself that I have to change who I am in a bit, like, especially when it comes to romance, not so much in everything else, because I love who I am. But when it comes to romance, I am a damn train wreck. And I admit it. Like, you know what? As long as you're cute, we're cool. You know, like, well, even cute isn't one of my big things either. That's, but anyway.
Well, you know, I think that on some level, we do sort of seek out unhealthy relationships in all of our areas based on our parental relationships. So Nicole, for you, I would say that, yes, as a friend, you are extremely loyal and have a lot of healthy habits, and you do choose healthy friendships. Mm-hmm. But I do know that there is an unhealthy dynamic between you and your mom. Mm-hmm. I've seen kind of similar ups and downs with your sister. And I know that a lot of that is also mimicked in your, you know, romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. And I know I for sure do the same thing. I acknowledge that. And I started seeing a therapist 2 weeks ago because I don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
I know enough to know, like, that's it. This needs to stop now. I don't want my kids growing up and following the same on health. Yeah.
I can speak on, but you don't know my background, but I have a very unhealthy relationship with my mother. And I'm like the middle child. So it's like, my brother's the oldest. He's the only boy. So of course he's, you know, and then my sister's the baby. So I'm like in the middle, and it's like, I'm always, and I'm like this with my friends. And I'm like, I'm realizing this. I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to get along. So I always sacrifice me just to make sure everybody is cool. And I'm learning that that's not good, because my health, I'm in my 40s too. And they say women in their 40s, you know, we're not, our heart health is really important. You know, I don't want to have a heart attack because I'm worrying about, I'm making sure everybody else is fine, and I'm, you know, sacrificing myself. So yeah. It's a lot of relationships stem back to your childhood. You know, mm-hmm. how, because your family, that's your first sign of relationships, right. is your, how you grew up.
Right. Formative years. Yes.
Formative years. And I realized when I was younger, dating, I equated sexual relationships with like affection. You know, I felt like even though we were having sex, oh, this person loves me, or I'm getting affection. And when they cut that off, then it's like, oh, well, I guess they really didn't love me. Or that's what I was looking for. Or because we were having sex, you know, that, oh, he loves me. And that's not necessarily the case. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
I did too, actually.
I didn't learn that the hard way, but that, again, that's a whole other, one of my future podcasts will deal with the sexual nature of how we become who we are sexually, because I definitely have reasons that I am the way that I am sexually, which is, you know. So, you know, what I really wanted to do was kind of talk about just how someone identifies, and I think that we've done a really good job talking about this, how we identify that we're in an unhealthy relationship. And honestly, although we're talking about romantic relationships a bit here, all of this applies to every relationship that you have, that minus the sexual and romantic issue, relationships boil down to the interactions between two folks or three folks or how many ever folks you got. But, you know, so just to identify, I mean, I just recently broke up with someone. I don't think he even knows that I broke up with him because he's kind of a douche.
Which one? Just for the my sake, so I know where you're going.
The angry black man. So me and the angry black man, prior to COVID, he had asked me horribly to marry him. I mean, it was like the worst proposal ever. I don't even remember it, so I can't tell you guys. But he asked me to marry him, and I was like, yeah, whatever, okay, you know. Again, good credit. Comes back to good credit, stability, has a girl, you know. All of that sounded good on paper, right? So he's passive aggressive, right? Yeah. To the point that you're like, are you kidding me? Like the most recent thing was I went over on a Saturday and we were hanging, and he went and got in the corner of the couch and wouldn't even get near me. And I'm just like, okay, we're watching what he wants on TV. He hasn't asked me what I want to watch, which is rude in my opinion. I never do that to people. I'm like, hey, this is on, would you like to watch it? Like, you know, at least give them a chance to say, I don't want to watch Cops. You know what I mean? We weren't watching Cops, by the way, but just as an example. And then he's like, the next day I get this text about how I'm ungrateful and I like didn't, I ruined the night, and it could have been a good night, but it was my fault. And I said, I was bored. I was not going to lie anymore. I was like, I was freaking bored. You weren't talking to me. You weren't touching me. We're watching some stupid show on TV. I'm done. Like, I can't do that. Like, you had no respect for me. Well, in the 2 years that I've known you, you've never done. Hold up, buddy. In the 2 years that you have known me, for 8.5 months, you ghosted me. And then you want to come back with revisionist history and say that was my fault. And then you want to tell me how I don't do anything romantic for you. Well, whenever you don't get what you want, you become passive aggressive and send me shit like this. I'm never going to do anything for you. You know why? Because you're an asshole. And that's it. I mean, like, I have to, you guys know me, I'm generous to a fault. I don't, like, if you need it, I give it. I don't care. It's all this stuff passes away when I die, right? So why do I care about having it? It's just, when you don't appreciate me, why am I going to appreciate you? You don't appreciate me. You tell me I'm spoiled. You tell me he yelled at me because my daughter was up late and told me that he would win in a court battle with me if we ever went to court over custody. And I'm thinking to myself, who the fuck says that? Like, what is wrong with you? Like, and so all of these added up to good credit, having kids, being good to our kids is nothing if I'm miserable. So no, I gotta go. So I'm gone.
And so I'm going to just backtrack a little bit, because I think what might be some of our problems in these relationships is that we have, whether they're spoken or not, expectations that aren't being met. So, like, for example, when this blow up happened that you're talking about, you said, well, I would ask my guests what they wanted to watch. So you had that expectation of, why isn't he doing what I would do? And I think that might have been your trigger, right? Speaking of
triggers,
and that it might have come out, your reaction to him might have seemed passive aggressive. And then it's the snowball of how. And also, I think that we're also focused on what they bring into the unhealthy relationships. What are we bringing into
No. And I, you know, as I wrote this whole thing up, I totally forgot to talk about how I'm the biggest contributor to my unhealthiness, but I don't think so in that case. That case, I'm going to blame him. But yeah, I am a big contributor. I think that what I bring into all unhealthy relationships is that I am skeptical, right? So when I start a relationship, there's already an end in sight. You know what I mean? If you go into a relationship believing that it's going to end, it will, right? And I know this. In my heart, I know this. And some people have changed that feeling, right? It's a rare occurrence because, right, expectations, which is something that I was going to be talking about too. But, you know, it is that I am not able to be, I don't like the word vulnerable because I don't know that that's the exact right word, because vulnerable is a nasty word to me, which is probably stupid, but because I like to be strong. I don't like the vulnerability, right? So then again, that's probably a problem too. The fact that I want to be in control of my emotions and in control of so much that I don't relinquish control enough to make things work. But it wasn't going to work with him. I just want to say that again. But, you know, I know I'm not perfect. I wish I were. That'd be great.
I don't want to think of vulnerability as a weakness.
Yeah. So
I think that in itself sets us up for failure on all levels, right? Yeah. Would you say you're ever vulnerable with your daughter?
No, actually, I don't think I am. I think that, and I also think that that's not the best thing ever either. I think that my daughter deserves a different version of me sometimes, because I am so, I need to get this done. I need to get that done. I have my own agenda at times when I should be enjoying her. And so one of the things I've been really thankful for COVID for, which is stupid sounding, but it's true, is that it's taught me to be a better mother because I've had to slow down and not be so insistent upon getting my goals accomplished when I wanted them accomplished, because with COVID, you can't always do that. So she's getting more attention. She's getting more of the mom that I really want to be, which is a mom who's invested in her. I mean, it's not that I wasn't invested before, but I feel like I'm more invested in her everyday life, her schoolwork, what she likes to eat, and it sounds stupid, but it's very important to, or when she wants to know about past relationships with her dad, or, you know, like that, which at sometimes you're just like, you give the truncated version that doesn't have real feeling to it. And sometimes that's not good. I don't think that my mother ever did that with my dad about my dad, but I have certainly censored myself to a few words and just been like, you develop your relationship with your dad and you figure it out, because I don't want to talk about it.
How do you think she's going to develop healthy relationship patterns then? Don't you want to pass your wisdom down to her?
Yeah, that's not happening right now. But yeah, no, I mean,
honestly, now, obviously.
Yeah, no, I definitely do. I don't want her to feel like she has to accept things that she shouldn't, or that, you know, even setting herself up for failure with expectations, because I think that even our expectations, when they are so rigid and there's no room for wiggling, we set ourselves up for failure, because, you know, nothing in life can be controlled. As much as we want it to be, it cannot. And so we have to learn to be a little more flexible. I like flexible better than vulnerable. I'm not flexible.
Well, I think those are two different things, but I like how you just learned that about yourself, where you said you like to have everything in control, but you acknowledge that nothing is controllable, right? I think when I think of vulnerability in a relationship, not necessarily a friendship, I just think it's the ability to be completely honest about your feelings and to be completely open in acknowledging the other person's. Mm-hmm. Right? So even though there might be things that you don't want to hear, like, for example, you call him Angry Black Man. I love that nickname, and that we're still giving our guys nicknames. You know. He does not want to hear that he can at times be passive aggressive from you, right? So he's also not vulnerable. So yeah. You have two emotionally unavailable people who are trying to get closer, but neither are willing to get closer, right? Yeah. Yeah. So to me, that's what vulnerability would be. Like if you had said, for example, I'm your guest, and to me it means that I get input on what we do together, like something like that. That's what I mean when it's vulnerable. So
yeah.
Flexible.
Yeah, no, I get you. But let me just go back in that story and say, I did ask him what we were going to do that day. I asked him when he asked me to come over, and I said, what were we going to do that day? And he's just, no answer. I'm just like, I asked it again, no answer. So in some senses, you're right. Both of us have a few issues going on there. But I'm not willing to do it again. Like, I'm not willing to get into another relationship with another person who believes that they need to, like, I don't know if it's a control issue or they think they're right or something. It's just not, it's not okay, because I came back into that relationship again with the push-pull. I came back into that relationship with the best of intentions, right? To see it from a different perspective, to not call him the angry black man, to see, because, you know, it's a negative connotation, right? But I was like, okay, I'm going to go and look at this from a very different lens. I'm going to look at this from a lens of the girl who's never been hurt, right? That's what my intention was, to go in there and be like, I'm the girl who's never been hurt, and here I am. And it's, he treated me worse than he did the time before. And it's just like, because he was holding up some kind of anger over me never giving him a greeting card, for God's sake. Like, come on, man.
So you were vulnerable and it was met with more of that negative energy. And so you now feel in turn that it's not helpful. But I think you do need to stay in the vulnerability, not with somebody who's not going to receive it, right?
Yeah, no, and I think that that's true. And you and I have talked about this, that I can be overly empathetic, which is another issue of my own that messes me up in my relationships. Because with the guy, the five-year relationship guy, who I've never given a nickname to, which is, or did I?
Well, you have, but we can't say it on this one.
Oh, okay. So
your Sunday guy. That's what I think of him as.
Well. Oh, Sunday guy. So Sunday guy, that's a good one. oh God. I'm overly empathetic to his situation, right? To him being abused by a woman, really, really, really made me have empathy for him. The fact that the woman yelled at his mother and slammed doors in her face and hit him and called the police and things that she did to him made me have such empathy for him and his situation, because the one thing I cannot stand is physical abuse. I think it's the most disgusting thing a person can do. And so I'm also a fixer because I'm empathetic. I want to fix it. Right. So the only thing I wanted to do was fix him. Right. Because I loved him and maybe I felt like he loved me, but he never said it until this year, I think. Wow. You know what I mean? And once out of 5 years, you've said that. And so, you know, you're just, empathy can be the most powerful thing because you don't see people as dirt. You don't prejudge them. You hear their story and you try to make good calls on who they are as a human being. But in relationships, when you're overly empathetic and you're always trying to fix people, which people have always said I'm a fixer, you tend to draw, not just draw, you tend to want someone who is in some way unhealthy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes, because that keeps the cycle going, right?
Yeah. I don't want any more unhealthy people, though. I'm done. I really am.
I can totally see myself like I'm my dad. Like my dad, he shut down. Like he didn't, you know, between him and my mom, they would, you know, have their battles or whatever. But my dad, he would just shut down and just be in the moment and just, but I noticed that's me. Like, I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel vulnerable enough. I can't be vulnerable to my friends, people that I trust.
Yes.
But I don't feel that I can be vulnerable with my husband because I don't trust my feelings with him. I don't think it's because I don't think he intends not to be like, that's just the way he is. And so I just shut down and I listen. I mean, like he'll talk or whatever, but I don't feel safe. I don't feel like my feelings are safe with him. They could be, but whenever I feel like whenever I do communicate, it just, whatever I say is like, it's being thrown against the wall and just all my little feelings are just going down the wall. Like nothing's being absorbed. So I just don't even say anything.
That makes me want to cry. I'm so, yeah. Like, if I want, Nicole, hug her.
Okay, and this is from Jackie.
Okay. No, that's heartbreaking. I think that's really, whenever you want to talk about your feelings, I'm here for you.
Thank you.
But I also, I don't know, I wonder if maybe, like, what if we all, let's do this challenge. What if for the next 30 days, we commit to each other that no matter how, when that feeling creeps up of like wanting to shut down, we just stay in it and not shove it and let it be and see if maybe we can suss out the vulnerability in our unhealthy relationships.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard work, especially when you feel like it's hitting against the wall. Yeah. But maybe if we all do it together, we can achieve something like impactful in our lives.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that always freaks me out, and I know that's happening now, that's sort of heightening this situation, is that it's hard to date in COVID. So like, if I really don't go back to this guy, what's going to happen in flu season?
Right. I mean, that's a valid question.
Yeah. And COVID has definitely changed the way that we date. I went out on a date before I went back to the angry black man with, I'm going to try to find an,
the couch guy, the movie guy, this one?
Who's the movie guy?
Oh, see, you don't even remember. Remember when I said, how are you social distancing?
And
you
oh my God, the movie guy. No, I went out with him and that was terrible. Oh my God. Like, the movie was over and he turns to me and he says, so where'd you park? I'm like, wow, that's terrible.
You see?
It's terrible. Like, and he was on the other side of the room. So for all of the listeners, I am very paranoid COVID person. Yeah, he was on the other side of the room. But no, it wasn't him. We're going to call this guy Taco, just because we had tacos on our first date. So he comes to my job. He says, I'm going to come to your job. I'm going to bring you tacos. We're going to go sit. I work by Lake Merritt on the bad side of Lake Merritt. I just want everybody to know there's a good and a bad side of Lake Merritt, and I'm definitely on the bad side. I don't know why, it just, it makes a difference. So he comes and he picks me up and we both have on our masks and we go down and we eat, we watch the water, we took off our masks to eat. Then we go and we were walking at Lake Merritt for a little bit and kind of sit on a bench and, you know, he is definitely part of the culture that is the wrong side of Lake Merritt. I will just say that. And but I think that the danger with him is it, I like him. I really do. He's fantastic. I mean, he's the nicest human I've ever really met, but he ghosts a lot, which is not really healthy. When he needs space, he doesn't say, hey, you know what? I need some space, or hey, I'll talk to you in a few days, or anything. But he just kind of goes into the nether regions. And then a week and a half later, I'll text him and he'll be like, hey, I've been thinking about you. I'm like, well, do you know how to use a phone? Like, what is wrong with you? But that just because as I'm in this situation, I'm feeling like I know that this is unhealthy for me and I probably need to let it go. However, the empathy in me is not letting it go because of his situation and his life. And I'm like, girl, and plus, as you said, COVID, and I took off my mask and I kissed his face. So you know what? At this point, we've shared germs. You know what I mean? Like, we were really good about not touching each other. And all of a sudden, then I was just like, wow, you're really cute. Okay, let's like make out. Okay, cool.
Wait, is this the guy I'm thinking of? The one that came to the house, he went to the side of the house?
Yes, the side of the house guy, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. So that is a testament to your fixing personality.
It is.
Your empathy, because he has, just so the people listening know who you're talking about, this guy has a lot of unresolved issues from his childhood. Mm-hmm. And Nicole, I do think, just because we're friends, I can say this, I think that you do tend to seek out relationships that are already dead ends, right? So that it's your self-fulfilling prophecy and you know it walking into it. And yeah. So this is just another like example of it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, you told me you didn't like him from the beginning. I know. You were, I can remember. And you're absolutely correct, but yeah.
Yeah. So just also, so your listeners know, there was a time, I think it was about a month ago when I left you a voice text on WhatsApp and I said, I know you're going to judge me. You're not going to like this, but guess who's coming over? And your response to me was, oh, that's okay. Guess who just left my house? Oh, it's funny. We're kind of doing the same exact thing.
And I think, you know, that is a point. It's like, oh, well, you know, like, I'm already in this. Why start up with somebody else and start something new that you don't necessarily know if you want to be involved? Because what do you ask for? I need your COVID test, your STD test. How many tests do I need to be comfortable with you?
And then also it's hard to leave a marriage, right? Because here you are now listening to two single or divorced women talking about how hard it is to date. And so I don't know, like, do you want to like start fresh when it's most likely going to be still someone who's divorced, who probably has unresolved issues about their ex-wife? And like, it's hard to date when you have kids. So it's all just a shit show.
It is.
And the older you get, because the older we get, the more experiences we have, and then more we learn what we won't tolerate. And because of what we've been through in the past, yeah, it's challenging.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. And it's kind of scary.
It is.
You know?
It yeah. absolutely is. So, yeah, Jackie knows that I started seeing, she had one person that she approves of, and I still can't make that.
But that's new.
Well, no, and that's also, it's new, and we are both incredibly, he's more driven, I think, in his work mode, and I'm more driven in my personal goals, and so it, we literally had a conversation. We've only talked on the phone once. And during that conversation, we both said, hey, I don't even know how I fit in your life. I don't get it. You don't have time for me. Like, and here we are, holiday weekend. He's one way, I'm the other way. So, you know, it's like the opportunity to have a tiny bit more time where he's not with his kid and my kid could probably hang out with her dad. And yet that still didn't happen. So it's like, then you get a little discouraged because you're like, if he is a good person, how do I know that? And am I going to continue to like wait on him, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't know.
I think a good teaser for the listeners right now about how you find yourself in this situation would be to talk about the end of your marriage to your daughter's dad. I know you're not ready for that yet, but I think it is something to start setting up. I know I'm pushing you a little bit, but I'm doing that on purpose.
I agree with Jackie, because like when I'm talking about with my oldest daughter, like I always talked to her. She never knew him. He was in our life. We were together maybe 2 years total. So she actually, when we broke up, she was 11 months old. So she doesn't have any memory of him. So I wanted to be careful of what I shared with her. Cause I didn't want her opinion of her dad to be tainted by my, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Your feelings?
Yeah, my feelings or my bitterness, because I was pissed, you know. But it was, I always chose age appropriateness. I would tell her things like, you know, bits and pieces here. But now that she's older and she's 19 now, now it's adult. It's the R-rated version I can give her. But she's always appreciated it. She told me, she's like, Mom, I do appreciate you telling me, you know, because she was able to form her own opinion of him outside of like me and his relationship. So when you're ready, I think it would help her. Because, and then it'll let her, it'll help my oldest daughter. She gives me advice in how I deal with my husband, like relationship advice. She's like, Mom, because of what you went through, I'm not going to do that. I want to break the curse. You know, I don't want that in my life. So she's able, so she helps me out. So
yeah,
I think when you're ready, I think it would be beneficial. And she's
my always, kid is
it,
nosy.
She's always going to, but she's always going, but you give it to her in how she's going to understand it.
Yeah.
You know, and she already knows him, and she already forms her own opinion of him, but then it'll help her guide her future relationships and what she will tolerate or what she won't tolerate, because my mom didn't put up with that, or you know what I mean? That kind of, you know, it'll help her.
Or even the opposite, right? My mom put up with that for too long.
Right. Oh, that's my daughter, my oldest. That's how she says, oh, I'm not doing that, mom.
Yeah.
I know I'm not doing that.
I actually said that to him today. I was like, for 6 years, I put up with your shit and your selfishness. I'm not doing it anymore. Knowing that for 6 years, I sat and waited for a change in behavior with alcohol, a change in behavior with responsibility, a change in behavior with self-respect. I mean, on and less selfishness. I believe that the selfishness that was in that relationship was not necessarily selfishness, it may have been narcissism, but moreover, it was a lack of self-respect that made that person so unable to give love and to love somebody else because they didn't love themselves. How the hell do you love anybody if you don't love yourself? You can't. It's impossible. And I mean, Jackie gives it to me a different way, and I have another friend who's like, you don't love yourself. And I'm like, no, I really do. The problem is, honestly, I love myself, but if I see a hurt animal on the side of the road, I'm going to pick up the hurt animal and try to take the animal to get the animal hospital to get better. Cause that's who I am. Cause I'm an idiot.
And then you get hit by the truck when you're
on. Then I get hit by the truck. Right. It's not somebody else. It's me who gets hit by the truck. Yeah. Yeah. So that's really good. Talk a little bit about resolutions. I think that we've done, I think we've talked enough about how to recognize that we have some unhealthy relationship patterns within ourselves. And that when you recognize that your relationship is exacerbating these problems, it's time to look at that relationship and decide whether or not it's something worth staying in. One of the things that I think comes out in both Jackie and I's story is that there's a cycle with some relationships where there's a push and pull, as I call it, where we allow ourselves to go back into these relationships that we know aren't very healthy, but we have something with them. And we are waiting again, we're waiting for them to change, and no one changes without it being something they want to do. However, we're willing to give them a chance, but at some point our own self-preservation has to be important to us as well. So mentally, we need to understand what our breaking point is. And when we get to that breaking point, just let it go. But in saying that, I do want to say this. We talked a lot about expectations, and because sometimes we have unrealized expectations that aren't necessarily the biggest issue in the world, you have to start to identify when you have a real issue. Instead of it being like, in my case, like I can only think of him because nobody ever gives me feedback on our relationships, but with the angry black man telling me that I never do anything for him and I'm not da-da-da-da-da, that's a real issue in the sense that it made me feel bad about myself. Not because I believed that I was doing anything wrong, but I believed that that person couldn't identify what he had done to contribute to the way that I felt. So it's important to understand that all relationships are work, that you have to put in a lot of work to make any relationship work, even if it's the best relationship in the world. I know people who are happily married for 20, 30 years, you know, basically married when they were babies. But I also know that they work really hard to keep those relationships together, to appreciate each other, to acknowledge when there's fighting, and to do things to resolve their issues. When you're not getting any kind of resolution and it's just continuing and continuing, I'm not going to tell you it's something you need to end, but it's something you really need to think about. So do you ladies have anything you want to say about resolving your patterns?
Well, since I'll say something, because I'm just a scaredy cat. That's just how I describe myself. For those scaredy cats out there, just take that leap and get out of your comfort zone, because nothing's going to change if you keep being scared. I guess that's my resolution.
I like that. I think I have similar advice. Like, sometimes when it feels uncomfortable, don't ignore it and go back to what you're used to doing. Stay in that new horizon outside of your comfort zone and see. Because obviously what we're doing is not getting us what we want. So maybe going out of your comfort zone is going to get you what you want.
Yeah, definitely. So our next episode will be talking about raising children with a chronic condition. Mm-hmm. As many of you may or may not know, Adrian and I both have autoimmune disease. I have rheumatoid arthritis. Adrian has
lupus.
So, but for both of us, I believe they onset around the time that we had children. She had it before.
Adrian, when you come in next couple weeks, correct me if I'm wrong, but she was diagnosed way before her Kalia was born. She was diagnosed like maybe her son might have been 10.
Okay.
Maybe.
Which is really common, because
yeah,
autoimmune disease is usually get diagnosed after babies, which is very...
You know, I have several autoimmune too, diagnosed at 19. So it's funny, we should all just reconvene for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. You've been listening to episode 5 of Single Mommy Fabulous, Unhealthy Relationship Patterns and How to Break Them. Check out our website at singlemommyfabulous.blog for more information about Single Mommy Fabulous and upcoming episodes.